All right. Where are we going to be? Exodus chapter 20 is going to be our text for today, verse 12. You could turn there, but you don't have to because you already know it. It says, honor thy father and thy mother. Let me say this. God, I said this concerning our Mother's Day message, that God's glory or his handprint. You know how you can tell when the 3-year-old, the 4-year-old, the 5-year-old been in the chocolate chip cookie jar? Because before you even get to the kitchen, you see crumbs and chocolate all up along the walls, and you just following it, and you go into the kitchen and because the evidence is there. Well, God's handprint, his glory, is left on everything that he does. Nothing God does is absent his glory. Everything he does contains his glory, which points man to God. Everything. Period. Everything. Everything. That's why Psalm 19, when it says that the heavens declare the glory of God. But then the New Testament tells us that the woman is the glory of the man, and the man is the glory of God. So God's glory or his handprint is left on everything that he does, so that his glory is always pointing us to him. When God gave us fathers, he gave us a revelation of himself. Let me say it again. When God gave us fathers, he gave us a revelation of himself. You say, but none of us would be here without our father. Exactly. And the Father in heaven gave you a revelation of himself because none of us would be here without Father God. That's what he wants us. That's part of what he wants us to get. It's real simple. It's real simple. That's the thing about God's glory. It's so glorious and so simple that often you walk right by and miss it and just think, oh, well, yeah, I had that all the time. What? Big deal. Big deal. So what? So what? So what? Look, my father died when I was 4 years old. I don't even ever remember talking to him, but I am here today because of him. Hello. Hello. And listen, and I thank God for my father every day. Never met him. Don't remember talking to him, but I thank God. Why? Because God chose him to bring me into the earth. Whoo. So when God gave us fathers, he gave us a revelation of himself in that the father provides for, protects, and guides his children. That's what our brother just said. Verbatim. He just said it. Why? Because my notes is his notes. Hey, look here. It's the Holy Ghost. Amen. So that if you have a father, you have a revelation of God. You say, well, that's why are you saying that? Everyone has a father. Yeah, but everyone doesn't know that they have a revelation of God. Sometimes we take our fathers for granted. We can. I never did. I didn't have the chance to. What I would have given to sit beside him, to hear him say my name. Hey, look here. To hear him say, son. To hear him call me. My God, what I would have done for that. And yet other people have it and take it for granted. Oh, Dad, you don't know nothing. For real? No, you don't know what you have. You don't know what you have. You say, does this extend? Is this only biological fathers? By no stretch of the imagination. By no stretch. The one who is fathering you, the one who's providing, protecting, and guiding, that's Father. That's Father. His father. So Psalm 103 and 13 says, as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. You see how God put the two. You see how God put his glory on the father. He said this, as a father pities his children, and every father pities his children. Every father wants to shed mercy upon their child. So the Lord pities those who fear him. In Luke chapter 15, Jesus gives us a parable about we call it the prodigal son. Moses came years ago and preached about the loving father. Amen. And in that story, the Lord gives us a picture of a father and his love for his son. And when you consider the story, the son asks for everything that belongs to him, except for there's only one problem. You were to get your inheritance after your father died, not while he's alive. It was an affront to ask for it while he was still alive. But the father, wanting to teach his son a lesson, let him have what was going to fall to him. How do we know? I mean, he didn't have to give him anything when he asked, but we know that the father was anticipating something, because when the son had spent all his money and was coming back home, the Bible says that the father, standing in the door, saw him while he was a great way off. In other words, the father was out there looking every day. He was looking for his son. Now, why was he looking for his son? Because he was expecting his son to come back. Why? Because father done walked down a road you haven't walked. You say, do I really need to listen to my father? Let me tell you something. God put a father in your life because a father has already been where you're going. And he can talk to you. He can speak to you. He can guide you. Hello. And remember, ultimately, we're talking about Father God. And it's very important that we listen to our earthly father, because if you don't listen to your earthly father, you're not going to do real well listening to your heavenly father. Hello. So when his son was a great way off, his father saw him and he had compassion on him. The father was hoping that the son would learn his lesson and come home. And that's what happened. Why did the father want him to come home? Because he wanted the son to know that no one's going to love you the way father loves you. No one's going to love you. You know, the Bible says that when the prodigal son, when he had spent all his money on riotous living and he didn't have anything to eat, and it said, and no one gave him anything. He said, my father. He remembered his father. That was the lesson for him to come to learn. The son learned that the father's goods were nothing without a relationship with his father. Glory, hallelujah. Let me say that again. Because a lot of times we run to God the Father wanting all this stuff. But you see, the father's goods that the father allowed his son to have mean nothing without a relationship with the father. God help us. God help us. Goods run out, but the love of your father is everlasting. Love of your father is everlasting. I will always love my children. Money can run dry. Things can you know, plans can go awry. But the father's love, the mother's love, the father, our heavenly father's love is everlasting. Solomon tells us in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 12, for whom the Lord loves, he corrects. Whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father, the son in whom he delights. You say, why does my father get on my, why does he do this? He gets in my face about things. Because he loves you. Now, we all here children of God. Anybody ever have your heavenly father get on you? Oh, God, I have. Oh, yes, indeed. The scripture says he corrects every son, every daughter he loves. Everyone. That means every one of us receives correction. That's why whenever I go to correct my children, the father's always reminding. Now, remember, I had to get on you. Hey, so be merciful. Because when you sow mercy, you reap mercy. Amen. And so just as the Lord loves the Lord, he loves the son that he corrects, just as a father, the son in whom he delights. So likewise, the father in Luke 15, you remember the prodigal son, when he's there enjoying the meal and everything, the elder son said, you never gave me a party. You never did all this. So the father had to go out and correct him. He had to go out and correct him. Why? Because he loved him. Because he loved him. Don't keep this attitude, son. And so we move to Exodus 20 and verse 12. Honor your father and your mother. The word honor in the Hebrew is kabod. Kabod. It means to be heavy, to be weighty, right? It means, what else does it mean? To be hard, to be rich, to be honorable, to be glorious, to be burdensome. In other words, as a father, I fully expect what I say to my children to carry much more weight with them than anybody else. You say, that's awfully proud of you, ain't it? No, not proud at all. No. Why is that? Because I'm their father. Because I'm their father. See? And the word honor, the word is to honor your father and your mother. In other words, to take what they say that it would weigh heavily upon you. Heavily upon you. And why is that? Not just because, you know, what I would say to my children is something that is in general. We all could give general wisdom, you know, don't drink, don't chew, don't run with those who do. I mean, you know, I remember that from your father, amen, Melody. We all can give general counsel. But when a father gives counsel, see, when I counsel my children, unlike anybody else except for their mother, when I counsel them, I'm counseling them because I know their character. I know their strengths. I know their weaknesses. So when I say, hey, you might want to watch this over here, it's altogether different when someone else says something. Hey, because you don't know them the way I know them. I even joke with Tori. I tell her, I say, you know, this when this man comes, the one, we going out for a meal. I'm going to say, young man, let me tell you what you about to get yourself into. Yes, sir. There's a reason why God said you cut a covenant that you can't get out of. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, yeah, you boy, you about to marry my girl. Boy, and you get up in here, I tell you, it's for life. Because if it ain't for life, I'm coming for your life. You understand? Hey, look here, I'm going to let him know. I ain't getting no amens, but that's okay. Yes, indeed. I got to tell him. I let him know. All right. So he says to honor your father and your mother. Why did God command this? You know, it's the fifth commandment, you know. And so the first four, they say, are the God word, you know, the vertical commandments. And the last seven are the horizontal commandments, be it as it may. But why did God command this? Well, proper and healthy godly relationships are required in order to prosper in the land that God was giving them. Let me say that again. Proper, healthy, godly relationships are required in order to prosper. Because God said that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God has given you. So you just ask Solomon, who had, you know, what did he have? 700 wives and 300 concubines. And he was the one who wrote that a drippy faucet on a drippy roof on a rainy day is like having an angry woman, an angry wife in the house. He said that, not me. And he knew all about it, right? Because he did a very foolish thing. So we need to have proper relationships. We not only see this in the Old Testament, we see Exodus 20, verse 12, quoted in the New Testament. Ephesians 6, 1 through 3, Paul wrote, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment, with promise that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. So In order to get where God wants you to go, you have to respect where you come from. In order to get where you want to go, you have to respect where you come from. Well, where'd you come from? Well, you have a father and a mother. I'm not talking about where you grew up. I'm talking about where you come from. God says you have to honor them. You have to respect them, or it's going to be hard for you to get where he wants you to go and where you want to go. The genealogy of Joseph. You remember the stepfather of Jesus in Luke chapter 3, the genealogy of Joseph. It starts with, it says, Jesus, having been the supposed son of Joseph, the son of, and it lists his father and father and father. And it goes all the way back and it says, and who was the son of Adam, who was the son of God. The son of God. So what that means is this: your father points you all the way back to God. That's why you're to honor him. That's why we're to honor our fathers. We're to respect them, right? And it's a humbling reality, because the fact of the matter is we did not come from a perfect father. Yet that imperfect father points us all the way back to God. Why? How? Because God commands it. God commands it. You say, but my father lived. I don't care how your father lived. God didn't say, honor the perfect and upright and the one who never said anything wrong, never did anything wrong, father. Did God say that? No, he didn't say it. He says, honor thy father and thy mother. So we didn't come from a perfect father. Neither will we be perfect fathers. That's why, part of the reason why we also need to respect our fathers, because, hello, you fixing to fill the same shoes. And you're going to tumble and fall over your feet just the way your father tumbled and fell over his. God brought us here through imperfect men. And he's going to bring imperfect sons and daughters through those imperfect fathers. So we find that the honor we give our fathers and our parents, it isn't tied to their perfection or behavior, but to the dignity that God gave them in making them our parents. It's all about honoring God. And I thank God for my mother and my father. Every day I love them, warts and all. I don't care whatever mistake they made. I don't care what sin they committed. I don't care. I just love my father and my mother. I revere, I respect, I thank God for them. Amen. Because through them, here I come, in need of all the grace and more that they had from the Lord. Everyone comes from a father, and God is the father of us all. You came from parents. Your parents came from God. Therefore, disobeying and disrespecting one's parents are the same as disobeying and disrespecting God. And that's why God gives us the commandment. Solomon said in Proverbs 1:8, my son, hear the instruction of a father. Hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother. Now, every now and again, Solomon would talk about wise sayings that we need to listen to, but over and over again, he would say, listen to the instruction of your father. Listen to the instruction. Well, you know, I was young. I didn't have a father, so there were certain things, you know, I wasn't listening to. I remember one time, though, a janitor named Mr. Tibbs. I'll never forget Mr. Tibbs. I was 15 years old, and we were at the rec center after school playing basketball and pool and all the other things. And Mr. Tibbs had stopped. He was a janitor. He had stopped to have a game of pool with some of the young teenage boys there. And I'm going to be all hard and everything. You know, I put my feet up on the pool table while they're playing pool. And, he walked by, and he couldn't get by. And he said, put your feet down. But, you know, I'm 15 and hard-headed, you know. I haven't had the instruction yet. And he walked on around, shot from the opposite side. He come back around. He said, put your foot down. I ain't put my foot down. He took that pool stick and come down across my shin right here. Oh, I wouldn't even say it, but I think I talked in tongues for about 3 minutes. Look here. Hey, man, I learned real quick to respect and to honor Mr. Tibbs, who that day was standing in the role of father who was correcting a young man who needed some correction. Amen. Needless to say, I don't put my feet on anything. Hey, Leah, you want to get by? Walk on by. You want to get by? You good. Go right ahead. Because I learned. Solomon said in Proverbs 4:1, hear my children, the instruction of a father. Hear my children, the instruction of a father. I beg of you to hear your father's instruction. I beg of you to hear his voice. Why? Because Solomon goes on and says, and give attention to no understanding. There's wisdom, knowledge, and understanding flowing from fathers, from mothers. Right? So, every father in his right mind who loves his children wants what is good for his children. Every father in his right mind. And you know, we got a lot of people today not in their right mind. You read the news. There's some craziness going on. Paul says we're not even to speak of it. So I'm not even going to. But there is such wickedness in this world. But every father in his right mind who loves his children wants what is good for his children. And in order for that to happen, he has to correct them. He must correct them. So God corrects his children, too. That be you and me. That'd be you and me. In Hebrews chapter 12, I'm going to try and I want to read a few verses of scripture, but I so want to put it in context because there's, let me say this. So Hebrews chapter 12, the author is talking to the Hebrews about suffering. Okay. But he starts with, therefore, and when the therefore is because not chapter 11, but all the way back in chapter 10, he's talking about suffering. Then he goes into chapter 11 and we get now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And the prosperity movement for some 30, 40 years been teaching people craziness about you need to believe God. Well, what you don't see. And then here it come and for a thing. And that ain't nothing what the author's talking about. That is not what he's talking about, okay? He's not talking about stuff. He's talking about your salvation, which is more valuable than anything you could ever possess here. Trust me, when you get to my age, I'm trying to get rid of stuff. Well, my one pastor told me, he said, the first half of your life you live to get. The second half of your life you live to give. Part of the reason for that is because you done got old enough, you ain't got enough sense now that you know all that stuff ain't going to get you nowhere. Look here. It's not going to get you where. It's going to slow you down. It's going to slow you down. The writer of Hebrews said, let us lay aside the sin and the weight that slows you down. Right? Okay. So let me say what he's saying here. Let me read this. Hebrews chapter 12, starting in verse 3. The writer says, for consider him, Christ, who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your minds or in your souls. Because these people were getting discouraged because they were experiencing suffering, persecutions. Some of it sounds like where a lot of Christians in America think we're headed. Hello. A lot of Christians are running around saying the liberals are doing this and then they're taking the seventh day. Well, let it happen. You say, what are you talking about? Well, let me keep reading. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted the bloodshed striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, and he quotes Proverbs 3:12, my son, despise not the chastening or the correction of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects or chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. So there was correction and chastening going on in the life of these born-again, spirit-filled Christians. There was chastening. How was it happening? It was happening by the suffering that God was allowing to come into their life. You say, does God use suffering to chasten people? Just go read the book from cover to cover. Read the book from cover to cover. You'll see instance after instance after instance of God doing that very thing. Why? Because he loves us. Because he loves us. Listen at what the writer says. Verse 7, if you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not correct? What son is there a father does not correct? Listen, if your father never corrected you, he's straight up telling you, I really don't care about you. You can go do anything you want. And then when you're done, get up out of here. No. But if your father comes to you and says, my child, and pleads with you, would you please stop this? You are endangering your life. You are endangering other people. You are hurting this, that, and the other. You're breaking my heart. You're breaking your mother's heart. Come on. That's the father who loves you. That's the father who's looking out for you. That's the father who cares for you. If you endure chastening, he says, then you're experiencing the love of God. But if you are without chastening, verse 8, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, verse 9, furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? I love what he called him the father of spirits. He didn't say father of born again people. He didn't say that. He said father of spirits. God is the father of every spirit that has ever lived. Hey, look here. He can do anything he wants to with that spirit. Belongs to him. He's the father of spirits. For indeed, for a few days, earthly fathers chastened us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Why does God our Father chasten us? Because he wants us to be partakers of his holiness. And what does Hebrews 12, I think it's 29 says, without holiness? It says, pursue peace and holiness, without which no man will see the Lord. No holiness, no God. You won't see him. And yet God is working in your life, in my life, so that his holiness might be resident within us. That we live a life that is holy and acceptable unto him. That's what our Father is doing. And he's working that oftentimes through our father and our mother. Imagine a people that does not respect their father or mother, and therefore God. Imagine that. Solomon did. He spoke of it in Proverbs 30. In verse 11, Solomon said this, there is a generation that curses its father. There's a generation that curses its father. That's, you know, like I said, there's a lot of wickedness going on out in the earth, in the world. But when you curse, when you hurt, that word in the Hebrew, curse, means to be trifling, unimportant, to be of little account. If you think your father is of little account, unimportant, to lightly esteem, to be insignificant, to treat with contempt or to bring dishonor. He says he spoke of that generation that cursed its father and does not bless its mother. When a person curses their father, they are cursing the fountain from which they sprang. Think about that. Think about that. If you curse your father, you must realize and understand this, that a whole lot of your father is in you. Hello? So when you curse your father, what have you done? And I'm not just talking biologically. I'm talking spiritually. And I'm talking more ways than one. Because you can father someone without being biologically connected to them. Paul said of Timothy, he said, my spirit, this is my son, Timothy. Paul called Timothy his spiritual son. His spiritual DNA was in Timothy. He said the same thing, called Titus, a true son in the faith. So we're not talking just biologically. Solomon goes on, chapter 30 of Proverbs, verse 17. He says this, the eye that mocks his father and scorns obedience to his mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out and young eagles will eat it. What's he talking about? Poetic language? Some, yes. But some of it would also have implications in the real world in terms of the eye that mocks. That word mocks means to deride, to ridicule, to make fun of, to laugh at, to scorn. We see a picture of this in 2 Kings chapter 2. You remember Elisha the prophet. Elisha had, after they had cut down some trees and made a new dwelling place, he was leaving there and he was traveling up to Bethel. And the Bible says that some youths, some young people, saw him. And if you remember that Elisha had a bald head, okay? He believed in God and what God was doing in his life. And he had a vow. And they shaved off all their hair. They took a vow. And Elisha had the anointing of Elijah on him. So these youths said, go up, thou bald head, go up. And they made fun of him. I also point out that Elisha was called father by the king of Israel, by Josiah, king of Israel. When they cursed this man, when they mocked him, he turned around and cursed them. Some people say, how could a man of God put a curse on people? He wouldn't have put a curse on them. He was just pronouncing over them what they were bringing on themselves. That's all he was doing. And a bear, a she-bear, a female bear, the Bible says, came out of the woods and killed 42 of them. Killed them. Mauled them to just, it didn't say it killed them, but it said it mauled them. Well, some people survive a mauling. I doubt they did. I doubt they did. And so, what happened is that their mocking oftentimes will bring to an early, can bring to an early retirement or death in this life. You remember that young girl who your mother used to babysit with your grandmother. I'll never forget. I've told this story so many times. Years ago, a young girl who she would babysit with her with. That's your grandmother, Grace Jones. And her mother, the girl would go out clubbing and go to the nightclub, dancing and all that. Hey, yeah. And her mother would be at home praying for her, Lord, protect my daughter. Well, this one night, God gave a woman a dream or a revelation in prayer. And the mother came to her daughter. She said, sugar, please. Her daughter was like 20, late teens or 20s. And she said, sugar, just do me this one favor. Don't go out tonight. Just not tonight. She said, oh, mama, there you go again with that foolishness. Leave me alone. She said, no, baby, just not tonight. God, show, not tonight. And she says, no, I'm going out. She went to the party with her friends. And after the party, her and her three friends are coming down BW Parkway. Something happened. The car broke down. A man comes through. All of them. Just all of them. Gone. And her mother was heartbroken because God told her, God showed her, God, she was praying for her. But this young lady didn't want to listen. She just didn't want to listen. Proverbs 19:26, he who mistreats his father and chases away his mother is a son who causes shame and brings reproach. In Proverbs 20:20, whoever curses his father or his mother, his lamp will be put out in deep darkness. His lamp will be put out. Now, does this mean that if that's going to happen to every person? No, but that's not the point. The point is that it could happen It could happen if I don't listen to the instruction that my father, that my mother is giving me. Now let me lighten it up. Yeah, because you say, oh, Pastor, you're getting heavy and deep. I'm saying is this. God our Father, not only does he speak to us, but he speaks to us through our earthly fathers. And Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. And because Christ is our shepherd, listen, when the shepherd wants you to hear his voice, you cannot unhear it. Hey, you can stop your ears all you want. Won't work. Oh, you will hear. You will listen. So I told you the story when my mother was planting flowers out in the front yard. And the neighbor had a big old German shepherd next door. And my mother's planting flowers. And you know the Holy Ghost will train you. Literally, he will. He'll tell you things. And you'll say, you'll tell, well, what he tells you is not for you to tell anybody else. It's just for you to know that you're hearing from God. And so the Holy Spirit, she's planting flowers, and the Holy Spirit said, go in the house. In her inner spirit, she felt it. She heard it. Go in the house. She said, yeah, Lord, as soon as I get finished planting her spade out there, turning over dirt, as soon as I get finished planting these flowers, and a little while later, Holy Spirit said again, go in the house. He wasn't yelling or anything. Just go in the house. She said, okay, Lord, I heard you as soon as I get it. And the third time, he said, go in the house. She said, okay, Lord, as soon. And she looked across, and the German shepherd, which was this high, the chain that he was on was just laying there free. The dog wasn't on the chain any longer. And she looked around, and here he coming across the yard towards her. Guess what? My mother felt like that's the time. Now's a good time to get up and go in the house. And she got up and she started running with her bare feet up brick stairs. And she fell. And her shins hit the bricks and cut in. The white meat was all exposed when I come home. She fall up the steps. And by that time, the owner had called the dog back. And but now she's all bloodied up and everything. And she said, Lord, and she says, yeah, I was telling you to go in the house. Because I didn't want that to happen to you. But you see, you have to obey me. That's what he was trying to teach her. Was when I say, get up and go, the time to get up and go is when I said it. Not when you think it's the right time. So our Heavenly Father does that, but our earthly father does it too. Who's speaking to who here today? God's speaking to somebody. Hey, he's speaking to all of us. He's speaking to all of us. We need to hear. We need to hear what our earthly fathers have to say. We need to hear what our heavenly father has to say. Let me help you. If you submit yourself under the authority of your father, then it'll be a whole lot easier. It'll be a whole lot, it'll fit you to submit yourself under the hand of your Heavenly Father. Amen? Amen. Well, may the Lord bless you today then, not only today, but in years to come, as you honor your father and your mother, who's, amen. Let's stand to our feet. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for the truth of God. And we thank you, O God, that you open our ears to hear so that we will never be able to say, oh, I didn't know, I didn't understand, it wasn't made clear. Father, we thank you for the fathers that you have given us, those here and gone. We thank you, oh God, because they were created in your image, Lord, and in all of our imperfections, yet your perfection still shines forth. Your glory and your love still shines forth. So, Father, we thank you for the love of our fathers. We thank you for the presence of our fathers. We thank you for what you accomplish through them, Lord, that we might mature and grow up into the persons that you are having us to be. Bless us as we go from this place today, Father, and may we just rest in the communion of the Holy Spirit all this week long, we pray. We ask it in Jesus' precious name, and all God's people said amen. Amen and amen. God bless you.